All right, I want to greet everybody today. We're going to start a new series, probably be about four parts. We'll see how it goes. But talking about speaking the word of God. And have you ever maybe in life had to try to talk yourself into something? You know, maybe something that was a little more than you really thought you could handle or whatever the case may be. And to me, sometimes it's just hard to get our head wrapped around something, especially if we've never done it before. And I draw the correlation, you know, about Peter in the boat. You know, we want to be like Peter and get out of the boat, but end up like Thomas and we'll not believe it till we see it. You know, and that's kind of a problem, isn't it? Especially because the Bible and our relationship with God is kind of premised on the idea or the concept of faith and what faith is all about. And so we're going to look today about the power of the words, our words, that's going to help us get out of that boat. Amen. And get out on that water. And a lot of times when we talk about the power of words or maybe confession, you know, some were maybe raised in a situation where they thought confession is when you went and you talked about all your problems and all your faults, right? You know, and you had to confess your sins and all the bad things you've ever done in life. But, you know, we're going to look at it from a different perspective. I'm not saying you shouldn't confess your sins to Jesus. Amen. He's the mediator between God and man, and we need to do that. But, you know, we're going to look at the idea of what it means to perhaps start confessing good things in our life. Amen. How important those good things are. And we usually say what we really believe in our heart and how the heart is so much tied to our mouth. You know what I mean? And how those two are interconnected. And so that's why it's so important that we get to the position in our life, you know, that, you know, we try to work on our heart and then hopefully that's going to start to change what comes out of our mouth. Amen. So confession is the starting point for possession. Confession is the starting point for possession. Now we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13. We're going to look at a couple scriptures today kind of briefly. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul is talking here to the Corinthian church, which is found in the country of Greece, correct? So, but he says here, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you just for the opportunity you've given us today to come and to worship you freely. I thank you for each and every person just listening to my voice today. I pray that the Holy Spirit is just working on each of our hearts, Lord, to open us up to what the Spirit of God would say. Lord God, we do thank you just for moving in our midst today. We thank you, Lord, so much. As I yield to the gift you put into me, I want to use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking here in context of what the scripture's meaning is the fact this is referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the issue was, especially with a lot of Greeks, because of their premise of how they looked at things, you know, Paul was stressing the importance of confession of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because many people in the Greek thought, they could understand the concept of the inner man, maybe the spirit or soul, you know, coming back to life, but they sometimes denied the actual physical bodily resurrection. And see, that's one of the cornerstone things of the Christian faith is the fact that Jesus came back, collected his body, and it's a glorified body, and then he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. So that's very important. But, you know, we can also understand the fact that we believed in the resurrection, but also the idea, the importance that a confession and what we say is so important in all aspects of our faith. The importance to be able to get that down. So how do we get the spirit of faith? What's that talking about? You know, Paul, he was a great missionary. He was an apostle. He went and planted many churches, and he went to new areas where maybe Jesus Christ had never been preached before. And so he had to have a spirit of faith to be able to overcome all the obstacles that he came against. Now, I know that you and I, from time to time, we face obstacles, don't we? There's things in our life that hold us back, and that's why we have to have that spirit of faith. You know, sometimes we just got to, you know, step up and step out. Simple as that. Did you know we talk ourselves out of many great things in our life? Because why? It's a little bit new for us. We maybe have never done that before. Maybe we feel that this thing that we're going to do that's sort of new to us is going to make us feel uncomfortable. And how many, we love comfort, don't we? I mean, look at us. We got padded chairs. Praise God. You know, I was around before, no padding, you know what I'm saying? You know, that scripture, he who endures to the end shall be saved, you know? I mean, it was just rough. But, you know, we have so many luxuries now and comfort. It seems like we make a lot of our decisions based on comfort. Now, I'm all for comfort, but sometimes it's good to feel uncomfortable. Because it's when we feel uncomfortable is when that we start to grow. That's when we step out and we accept new challenges in our life. Amen? And just how important it is that we do that. So, and just so we know, because this is how it works, everybody, I mean everybody, experiences problems and setbacks in life. Don't think that you're the only one. Because here's what happens. Whenever we get into those situations where we feel that the world around us or in us even is falling apart, that enemy, the devil, he uses one thing, and that's isolation. He tries to isolate us to get us into our own little world, and then we think it's just us. There's a problem with me. You know, I'm the one who's at fault here. You know, all these different things kind of go through our mind. But we have to know that, you know, everybody gets attacked. I mean, we're all going through it, and once you see that, it's going to help you. Because we all get knocked down. And problem is, some just choose to stay down. And they get defeated. They feel defeated. I'm just saying we just got to get back up. We need to keep getting back up. No matter how many times we go down, we just got to keep getting back up. So what I see is that the spirit of faith is what drives us to victory in our life. To walk in victory. You know, Jesus Christ was victorious over sin, hell, and the grave. Amen. All these things he defeated. So we're in a family of people who walk in victory because we're in the family of God. Amen. We experience problems, like I say. There's going to be some issues that maybe we feel like we lost this battle or two here along the way. But I'm saying that God made a way for us to walk in that victory. So we can choose to either live a life on offense or defense. You know, do I live to win or do I live to lose? Not trying not to lose. I mean, nobody lives to lose, right? Anybody, don't admit if you do. But, you know, do I live to win or do I live not to lose? You know, I'm not saying go out and do sketchy, crazy stuff all the time, but sometimes we have to, like I mentioned before, we need to stretch ourselves. We need to step out into the unknown and maybe just see what God's going to do. Especially, you know, I'm not saying, you know, for me, with my personality, I personally just about got to know that God's in it before I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? I have to have that feeling deep down inside that I feel that God is wanting me to do something here. And I'm willing to take that risk if I feel that God's in it. Now, if it's just my idea that, you know, I can tell the difference. Now, I'm getting old enough to know I can tell the difference. You know what I'm saying? Because I've tried this long enough. And I know that, you know, I can tell that, yeah, you know, if I'm in it and I don't know if God's in it for sure, you know, I don't know if I want to risk this. You know, it may or may not work out. I don't know. But I do know that God won't let me, if I fall down or if I miss him, God's not going to say, get out of here, you know. I don't want to see you no more. No, God's not going to do that. You know, let me snap out of it is what he's going to tell me. You know, quit pouting. You know, get up, dust yourself off, let's go. Just like he told Job. Job went through a hard trial, didn't he? I've never been through what Job's been through. I've been through some things, but I've never had to go through what Job went through. And God never turned his back on Job, and God will not ever turn his back on us. Amen? So we got to what we need to do is, the decision, if we live to win or do we live not to lose, this decision here is going to help us how we process information. I revert back to this every now and then because this is such a key ingredient to be able to walk in the power of God and to be able to experience the deeper things that I think hopefully all of us wish or we hope we can walk in these things. Just that closer connection, that intimacy with Jesus Christ, that we can be able to be one of his go-to people, the one that he counts on in life. So this decision on how we want to govern or live our life is important because how we process information is the determiner on what our response is going to be. You know, how you process information. Whenever you see a situation coming into your life or coming your way, you assess the situation, correct? You look it over, and then you decide, how am I going to respond to this? Right? Now, if we respond in fear, that we're, not gonna win this one, it's going to be totally different than we say, I got this because God got this. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on how we process information. And it's our heart and our mind, really, that are in conjunction with each other that causes us to assess information on how we do it. Let's say you've been hurt in a relationship before. Maybe once or twice, maybe more, right? Well, now you have hypothetically been healed of that, hypothetically. At least you feel you have. At least you've covered it up for a while. Well, now you're going along through life and all of a sudden you get thrown into a similar situation that causes you to trigger, that makes you revert back to the old feelings of pain. And then that causes us to enter into this new situation based on that pain instead of the fact, the power that, maybe God's in this. Maybe God has something good for me here. All because of how we process that information. And so that's why, my friends, we need to guard our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. And that's what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. The importance of our heart. And so how we process that information will cause us to see either opportunity or adversity, blessing or curse. And if we miss it and we miss out on a blessing, that's a real drag, ain't it? Missing out on something good that God wants to bring our way. I read a study a long time ago where there was a 30% success rate difference in professional athletes when they played to win instead of playing to lose. So our attitude does make a big difference on how we succeed in life and the importance of that. So we can either, in life, we can either choose to go with the flow or we can choose to be the flow. Amen? We need to stop trying to fit in all the time with everything around us because the Bible says, don't be conformed, be transformed. It's okay if we as a Christian choose not to fit into everything around us. Just because everybody else, how many people here whose parents told you this? Well, if your friend was going to jump off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? And back then you'd say, yeah, they're my friend. Right? But as you get older, amen, how many know? If my friend jumps off a cliff, hey, that's their problem. I'm not going to jump. I've been around a while. I know that's not the way. I can find other friends, but I can't, maybe recover from that jumping off a cliff. So we need to stay moving. We need to stay moving in life, heading towards God. Now, motion does not always mean productivity, right? Just because we're doing things. How many know some people, we can look busy, but we're not really getting anything done? That happens in life, doesn't it? And so we can actually be heading the wrong direction. You know, I've had that happen a time or two in my life. I mean, I was moving. I was heading somewhere. And I thought I was going where I needed to be. But then I looked up and, you know, I still remember this thing, man. I lived in Denver. And I hopped on I-25, which runs north and south through Denver. And I got on the interstate and I was driving along. And I thought I was going south. I mean, still to this day, I really thought I was going south. And I was just cruising along, listening to music, and I looked over to my left, and there's the mountains. Well, if the mountains are on the left, I'm going north. So I had to hit the next exit. See, it felt like I was going the right way. Everything in my mind told me I was going the right way, but I was going the wrong way. And so that's why we need to make sure that we really stay in tune with God on what we're doing with our life. So the importance is the fact of our heart. And before we get our mouth fixed, we got to fix our heart. So what is in our heart determines the trajectory of our life. How important heart. Matter of fact, it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So, here we see validated proof of Jesus, what he said. I mean, we can believe Jesus, right? This is what Jesus said. You know, for what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And so, if we govern and maybe check things out every now and then. You know, maybe if we bought a tape recorder and, you know, put it in our pocket and turned it on, then at night we play it back, we may find out some information about us. What's coming out of our mouth? Am I walking in victory? Am I talking in victory? Am I defeated? Have I already lost the game before I even started? You know, I used to coach a little bit before I wised up. And then, you know, you can show up for a game and you can just kind of look at the kids and tell if we're going to win or lose or not. You know what I mean? Some of them get defeated before we even start. I mean, they've already lost the game. You can tell what's coming out of their mouth. They're too big. They're too fast. We can't compete. You know, you might as well say, why'd you even show up? You know, we could have phoned this one in and saved everything, you know, just forfeited. You know, and I think the people of God, we have a better thing. So now we idea, so believe and speak, you know. We speak out, that's what which we believe in the heart. And like I said, this can be both good news and bad news. You know, the good news is we can speak positive, we can speak, you know, faith-filled words, but the bad news, sometimes we can speak death. We're going to look at this later in the series. Hopefully you know this scripture, death and life are in the power of the tongue, correct? You know, That's a major, major scripture on how we deal with things. So the good news and bad news. It all depends what is the governing factor in our heart. Now, full disclosure, when we're born again, we get a new heart. Amen? Amen. And so we need to buy into that newness of life. We're not the same as we were before. We have not been new and improved like when, you know, they have commercials, you know, they sell something and it's been around for a long time and in order to sell it, make people want to buy it more, they say this is new and improved. You know, it's just the same old thing, they just maybe done a little bit of different packaging. But see, we're not just improved, but we're totally brand new. Brand spanking new. We get a fresh start. Fresh start. When we get born again, we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. So, how do we kind of start this sequence of starting to walk in this sort of victory? Well, a couple questions we need to ask. Because we need to get our belief system down first, because our belief system is the foundation in which we build upon. It's a foundational thing. It's all about the foundation. You know, if we don't have a good foundation, we will fall and we will fail. So we need to make sure our foundation's right. So here's some questions I want to ask us, just some things that we need to hash out in our mind and to believe them deep down in our heart. Number one, do we believe that God is for us or God is against us? This is a question I think I asked just recently. You know, what's our root belief system on this? Is God for us or is he against us? Do we feel that we've maybe messed up so much in life that God is never really going to ever bless us because I have to pay for all the bad things I've ever said or did in life? Or do I get that fresh start, that blank slate, and I believe that God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is working for me and in me and through me to change me and to make me into the man or woman of God that he's called me to be. Now, I be the man part. Some of you guys are the woman part. I'm not saying I'm, you know, both. I'm just the one. So there's either one or the other. Amen? One or the other. That's a little commercial right there. Okay. Now, secondly, do we believe that God is picking us up or God is putting us down? How do you think God teaches us things? Do you think he brings bad things to hurt us just so we can learn a lesson? I mean, how many parents would let their kids lick a receptacle in the wall so they learn to respect electricity? Not too many. I mean, you don't give your kids a paper clip and say, hey, bend this paper clip and stick one in one hole and one in the other. And we'll just see how that works. For those of you who don't know, it will hurt you. It will blow up in your face. That's the amazement about electricity. It's invisible. You know, you can't see it. But it will definitely bring pain to our life if we don't harness it and make it work properly. So is that the kind of God we serve? Or do you think God is just trying to keep us growing and maturing in the things of God? I mean, there's a lot of ways to learn. I like learning from the Word. Let the Word of God teach me. That's the best way to learn. Now, sometimes we are hard-headed and we just maybe are a Thomas, you know, instead of a Peter. You know, we just got to, you know, we got to see it before we're going to believe it. That's unfortunate. It's a growth process, but, you know, we need to have that step of faith. Now, next, do we speak life or do we speak death over our circumstances? Now we're getting into a little more personal things. Are we the type of person that speaks life? Are you the type of person that just speaks death? When things come our way, does our mind totally go worst case scenario? Worst case scenario. Or when things happen, I'm going to get through this. No big deal. You know, I was out in another town the other day, and, you know, I kind of have a tendency to leave my doors open, and my battery was going low. I could kind of tell, but I never did anything about it. Well, then I was down there about, you know, 20 miles from town, and I got back in my truck, and nothing. No jumper cables out in the country. You know, my mind was thinking, I was just, you know, what do I do? I mean, I really had places I needed to be. I could easily went down that negative road. But I just ended up calling a guy I knew in that town, and he popped over and gave me a little, first it wouldn't start, and I was going, maybe it's a little bit more than I thought. But finally, we left her charging a minute, and she started, and I went home and charged it. But see, I've been in those days when something went wrong, and, oh, why does this always happen to me? You know, God, you know, I've done a lot of good things for you, God. Why did you do this? Well, God didn't leave my doors open. You know what I'm saying? You know, God didn't. I'm the one who got my battery dead. I'm the one who did that. I did it to myself. You know, but, you know, all depends on what happens, you know, with our life. And speaking death all the time. Because we have those things that happen, and some things just happen. You just don't get around them. So we got to clear that up. Number four, do we have a hard time believing God's promises? Now, this gets a little more personal. You know, we read the Word of God, and God has a lot of good promises for his people. And, you know, sometimes, well, you know, so-and-so, God will meet his promises for them. But I've never seen anything happen for me. I just struggle with those promises. You know, just digging in the Word, and then you find something, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just kind of, because, you know, the sad thing is, and just the way life works, is that why on earth is there sometimes a time differential between the time we say amen and the time we say there it is? Why? Why can't I just say amen to the promise and all of a sudden I have it? I'm really asking a question. What's the answer? No, I'm teasing. Sometimes it's the waiting that increases our faith, that causes us to hold on to that promise. And God will use that in our life, and He will cause us to grow and cause us to mature, because that's the most important thing. Because God wants His people to grow up and to mature. If not, why not just get saved and then kick the bucket and go on to be with Jesus in heaven if that's all there is? Because God wants His people to grow and to be able to become everything that He's called us to be. And lastly, do we believe that, kind of ties in with the others, or do we believe deep down that nothing good will ever happen to us? You know, the reason why I ask some of these questions is because perhaps maybe I was one of these people before, or I do know somebody. I do know somebody that actually deep down believes that nothing good will ever happen for them, because they've been so beat down, maybe by family or friends and relationships in their life, that has beat them down till they feel they do not deserve anything good. And that is such a lie from the devil, when we believe that and hold on to that. So that's why if we catch ourselves going to that worst case scenario, that's when we know that's not the way I have to be. That's wrong input, like a computer. A computer will only put out what you put in. Simple as that. If a computer gives out information, that means there's been a file corrupted. And see, if we're actually speaking death instead of life, well, a virus or a computed file a corrupted file or a corrupted thought has been put inside of us. And that now is our operating system. So we need to change that and to be able to get an update. Amen? Amen. What happens if you don't update your computer? You get left behind. We have to get them updates, continual updates. And that comes from daily bread. Amen? Daily bread with Jesus. So, what is in our heart comes out our mouth. So we live in a negative world. I'm not going to harp on this too much, but, you know, basically the world system has programmed us to doubt. That's just the way it is. It doesn't want us to succeed. It doesn't want us to come out of the crowd. It wants us to be like the other lemmings and going off the edge of the cliff. And we're trained, you know, to go by what we feel instead of what the Word says. So that's a big change, a big shift in our thinking, where we try to break loose of that gravitational pull of the world, you know, that is trying to hold us down and to keep us back. Because what happens is that if we're not careful, we can be conformed into having a doubting Thomas belief system. And it's very subtle how it kind of comes in there. We may not mean for it to come in there. We may know that I need to have faith. I need to be able to believe what the Bible says exactly. But then sometimes through a process of that time frame between amen and there it is, and then that stretching that happens in our life where we feel that we, you know, are that time of waiting, some call it a gap, you know, there's a gap there. Sometimes through that, then we start to feel the unbelief start to seep in. It's like a leak. Unbelief is like a leak, you know, and that leak comes in. And then it starts to get us to start to doubt a lot of things, start to doubt things in our life. And that's why we need to combat that. And so we need to break out of that and need to see us first. So, you know, it basically, if we always have to need to see it first, it's not faith. That's as simple as it is. You know, faith is not a blind assumption. Faith is actually based on something. Faith is based on God's word and God's promises. So it's not like a jump in the dark, you know. It's actually based on something that was true, the word of God. Now, Thomas had a problem. Don't know why. Could have been his personality, could have been things that happened. Who knows, maybe the other disciples always used to mess with him a little bit. You know, saying, there's Jesus. And then he turns and made you look. You know what I mean, playing games with him. Who knows why he was like he was. But the good news is, Jesus showed up for Thomas. He did. Thomas wouldn't believe unless he could see it. Well, guess what? Jesus showed up to help him turn that corner. Jesus didn't cast him off or put him to the side. Well, 11 out of 12 ain't bad, or 10 out of 12 because we lost Judas. Hey, 10 out of 12, that's pretty good. Right? No. Jesus came back for him. Jesus will come back for you. And Jesus will come back for me. If we're missing it, he wants us to get it. He's on our side. So getting past that feeling-oriented gospel, because it starts, you know, the faith walk has a whole lot to do with faith talk, starting to speak the word of God and all that important. Because, you know, in our faith, you know, we need to see that we need to be a thermostat and not a thermometer, okay? You need to decide right now, I'm a thermostat. I know that sounds stupid, don't it? How many would go up to your friends? Or how about buy a shirt? Hey, I'm a thermostat. Ask me about being a thermostat, you know. Follow me to being a thermostat on a shirt. But see, a thermostat sets the temperature, and a thermostat can only report what it is. We need to be the thermostat. We need to know that we have control. We can change the numbers. Amen? We can change the input. It's going to change your output, right? You change the thermostat numbers, you either make it hotter or colder. Amen? So we can change those numbers. We can change our life, and we can turn around. So here's how we do it. We start talking to ourselves. You know, start speaking life and not speaking death. Catch yourself. So easy to do. To trip up and start speaking the word. You know, we need to talk it before we can walk it. Now, I know this ain't mind over matter or some positive confession thing, you know, just to make yourself, you know, how they sell a lot of self-help books. This ain't what that is. This is actually using the Word of God to become everything that God's called you to be, and that's my goal. I want you to be everything that God has called you to be. But it's going to have to start with us starting to do it. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be different. Because we never maybe went down this road before. Kind of like the first time you came into a church like ours where people raise their hand during worship or clap a lot or clap off beat, praise God. That's different. Never been experienced to that. I remember the first time I went to the church, I actually gave my life to the Lord. I mean, I was coming from nothing. And went into the church, they were clap. I mean, the name of the church was Happy Church. I mean, my gosh. You know, and how they got that name, there was a lot of people from a certain denomination, which I don't want to mention online here, because some of my listeners may turn me off, but it don't matter to me, I guess, anyway. But they went from this other church, and they say, where are you going to church today? And they said, oh, we're going to go over to that Happy Church. Well, they were happy because everybody was clapping and everybody was excited about Jesus. And they'd never been involved in something like that before. And they wanted it. They wanted to be a part of it. And that's how that church got that name. Now they actually changed their name. And now they're not happy. No, I'm just kidding. They moved to another location back in the day. But anyway, so we got to talk it before we believe it. So instead of continually confessing our problems, start confessing the good things in God's word. You know, instead of talking about all your problems all the time, you know, try to figure out some good things going on. You know, try to figure some of those things out. Because I'll be honest, even though things may be not where we want them to be and there's some bad things that happen, but I think we each can probably find something good to talk about. Amen? Try to do that. I mean, it's not going to come natural. It's got to become supernatural. So we've got to fill our heart with faith so there'll be no room for doubt. And that's what I always call the law of displacement. That's one of my favorite laws. I don't think you'll find it, you know, written anywhere. But it's this: if you keep putting something good in, it's going to force the bad out. We got to do that. That's what turns us around. Amen. Are you saying field goals or score? Amen. Anyway, I've seen somebody going like this, like field goal score. But anyway, so we just keep displacement. Just keep putting that bad stuff out, you know, and it's going to, there's no room for it in there. And so we need to build assurance in our hearts. Now, how do you do that? See, there is a difference between insurance and assurance. Well, know those two words, right? Everybody should have insurance. I'm not saying that you never should have to have insurance. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying we need assurance too. See, why do you get insurance? For what things could go wrong. That's the only reason you get insurance. When something bad happens, you want to be covered. So why do we get assurance? Why do we build assurance? That's for what can go right. That's when we need to have assurance. See, I'm living for what the promise is. The promise. That's assurance. I'm not scared of going to hell anymore. I used to be. But I have assurance now that I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and I've been born again. And that He paid for everything. Everything at the cross, I have assurance with that. So that I never have to be afraid of that anymore. So I don't live my life in fear. I live my life in faith. Got to be aggressive about it. Pull the world strong, just like gravity. You know, it's easier for us to fit in and just make waves. When people say some things that are contrary to the Word of God, do we maybe speak up against those things? See, if we boil most Christians' belief system down, it comes down that, you know, some people believe they have to wait till they get to heaven before anything good's going to happen. You know, it's they have the old country song, you know, life is full of grief, heartache, and woe, and then you die. You know what I mean? I mean, God bless them, you know. But yeah, it's not like that, people. It don't have to be like that. No, we are living in a world where we're behind enemy lines. I don't deny all that stuff, but I do know that their life can be good, and it can be really good. So we've got to be part of the resistance. We've got to fight back, go against the grain. And just want to mention something about Abraham here. I know I'm running a little late on time here, but, you know, in Genesis 15, just a brief history, Genesis 15, God promised him a son, that he would be a father. You know, he's up in age, never had a kid, wanted to have an heir, had all this stuff he wanted to pass down to somebody. Well, that's a big promise. And God even, instead of just saying he's going to have a kid, then he said, your kid's going to become a great nation. Well, that just means that totally changed things. Well, along came Isaac, been waiting on this kid a long time. All of a sudden he came. Now, we know there's other stuff in here, but for brief time, I'm not going to go into it all about Ishmael and all that. But Isaac was the promise. Well, Genesis 22 comes along. And God told Abraham that I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to go up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him up to me as a sacrifice. Now, ouch. Waiting for years to have a kid. Finally got the kid. Now, God says, I want you to go sacrifice him as an offering unto me. Bible says Abraham the next day gathered up everything he needed, headed off to Mount Moriah. When he finally got there, he looked back to the servants, and he said a statement of faith in verse 5. Abraham, it says, said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder to worship, and we will come back to you. Even he fully intended he's going to have to offer up his son, but somehow he knew something inside. He knew the promise. The promise was that Isaac was going to be a great nation. So he knew that God must be up to something. Have you ever known God to be up to something? Amen. So he went up there, and the lad, he's about 14 probably. We don't know, but he's big enough to resist a little bit, a 90-year-old man or so. And he said, "Hey, Dad, I see the fire. But where's the sacrifice?" "Look in the mirror, son." So he took the boy, tied him up on the rock, tied him down, lifted up the knife, and was ready to bring it down. And the angel of God said, told him to stop. And then God provided a ram caught in a thicket. He loosed his son and let him go, and then he grabbed the ram and slaughtered the ram and offered him up as a sacrifice to God. Then God said to him, "Since you would not withhold your son from me, neither will I withhold my son for you." People, that was one of the greatest statement of faith in the Bible. It was a pivotal time, because that one act of obedience on Mount Moriah changed the course of all mankind. Because once Abraham would not withhold his son, God the Father would not withhold his. So what statement of faith can you and I do that will make a decision that could change the world? Decisions determine destiny. We need to see ourselves as important into what God has for us. If we want to see change, we need to start lining our mouth up with God's word, especially in times of crisis. Be like Abraham. We're going to return. We're going to get through this. Even though deep inside he knew what God required. Pressure is a revealer. It reveals what's truly in our heart. So when you go through problems and maybe bad things come out, don't let it get you down. Know that, I need to work on this. I don't like what's coming out of my mouth right now. Don't kick yourself. Just say, "Thank you, God, for revealing that to me. I'm going to change this. I repent of those words of death, and I want to speak words of life." So we can choose to be like everybody else, or like a doubting Thomas, or we can be like a Peter and get out of that boat. And that starts with working on our mouth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we give you glory today. We thank you so much, Lord, for the power of your presence that's permeating this place. Now, Lord, we know we're not alone in this endeavor, that, Lord, you're with us every step of the way. I thank you for the walk of faith as a walk of power. But right now, I want to give opportunity. Maybe you heard me talk about that new life, being born again, the changed life, a fresh start. And maybe you've never done that before. You maybe never surrendered your life. Or maybe you have and you feel like you fell away, you went a little cold, and you want to say, "Pastor Brad, I want to come back today. I want to pray for you today." Just slip up your hands if you either first time or rededication. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I thank you, Lord, just for meeting my brothers and sisters where they're at right now. Hallelujah. Lord, be able to walk in their power, the power that you supply. And Lord, we give you praise and glory for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we sing our closing song, we have one thing we're going to do. We're going to practice what we preach right now. We've got a little confession I put together. Matter of fact, this is one my wife put together for the kids, I believe. Ooh, I better get to this print. I can see this better. Amen. So please, we'll confess this together. Amen. I am a child of God, of the Most High God. I have been forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, you've taken my place and set me free, and I've overcome the world for me. You have delivered me from the domain of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of your beloved Son. I am strengthened with power through your Spirit to my inner man, and I am not alone. God, you are for me, not against me. Your plans for me are for good and not evil. So I take up my sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and I release your healing power in my life. Complete the work you have begun in me. In Lord Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Man, we'll work on our timing. Amen. I know I'm not...